barely walk any time.
Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland, and we've got a show lined up for you tonight that, well, it doesn't really matter what we had lined up. The President of the United States upset the whole apple cart, and to be perfectly honest, I am becoming less and less in love with the President of the United States. I am really worried about whether or not anything at all matters to him except staying president of the United States. I'm sure you all know that the president went to Afghanistan today, signed an agreement with that scumbag Karzai, and then, you know, like he could do things all by himself. More and more Americans are dying, and we're going to stay there till 2024. It's like an American colony. It's just out of control. It's like we don't learn anything, and I'm really very distressed by it because the president just seems to think, I think this needs to go to the Senate, and it needs to be ratified, and it needs to happen very quickly. Ratified or rejected. It is just way too long. The constitutional history or the constitutional professor thinks he can just do whatever he wants because he's the president of the United States. We need to end the state of war. Plain and simple. Tell me my Medicare's in danger when we just bleed money to Afghanistan. That makes the most sense to me. Listen to Dr. Tom Coburn just blabber on about how we have no money, how we go farther and farther into debt. And then we decide we're going to stay in Afghanistan till 2024. The president has stepped beyond his boundaries. I guess when you're a state senator, you want peace. And then the worst part, and they're already starting to do it, he's going to talk about how, well, he ended the war like he promised. That's baloney. Let's have a full debate in the Senate about whether or not the United States of America should stay in Afghanistan. whether we should stay there propping up that corrupt government. What do you think? 347-945-6713. That's the number. The chat room's also open. I really wasn't planning on talking about Afghanistan tonight, but the president has upstaged me. I'm really upset by this, you know. Why don't you all go to your phones now? Let's see what you all think. 347-945-6713. Nobody in the chat room. The big question on the show tonight. What do you think about staying in Afghanistan until 2024? Afghanistan until 2024. I don't know. It's just unbelievable. Or if we're going to do it, there's no question about that this agreement should have to be ratified by the United States Senate. And remember, the United States did not sign the Treaty of Versailles to end World War I because it was rejected by the United States Senate. Now, I don't think that one should have been, but it was. The president, and yes, it embarrassed the president. Yes, it did. And yes, it probably resulted in Warren G. Harding being elected. And then Calvin Coolidge when Harding died. And it might cause President Obama his election. And you know what? Maybe it should. He's gotten too many free passes. One side hates him because he is black. The other side hates him or doesn't think he can do no wrong because he's black. Forget about whether he's black or he's white. He's the president of the United States. And there's Americans, black, white, yellow, red, whatever color, being killed in Afghanistan for no reason. And this is clearly by decision of the president of the United States. If he's going to continue to act like everybody's there to do his bidding, that what he decides is the way things are, then we need to change the president of the United States. No, we don't need to put Mitt Romney in charge, that's for sure. Hey, guest 9121, what do you think about the president's speech? We are just dying of heat here on the Norman Knight Show. Very hot in Washington, D.C. today. Try to calm down here a little. Very hot in Washington, D.C. The temperature up over 80. Muggy. You know, that rain, that typical Washington. A glimpse of summer, if you would. But I don't know. I was just kind of a funk. Something didn't seem right. Then the president of the United States flies out of here, sits down with Karzai. The guy's a criminal, a warlord, a corrupt scumbag. And he signs a treaty with him, or an agreement, or whatever you want to call it. because he's the commander-in-chief, I guess he can commit the United States to stay there till 2024. It's time for the Senate to start to reassert itself. This agreement needs to be rejected. And the Senate needs to be called back tomorrow and start hearings on it. It's out of control. There really may not be a difference between the Republicans and the Democrats. It's the 1%. We don't matter. Oh, and happy May Day. Yes, yes, sirree, Bob. Hey, yeah, we were going to talk about May Day today, and we were going to talk about education and what's the best way to turn people into thinkers. But right now, I want your opinions. What do you think about what the president did today? 347-945-6713 is the number. I'll be right back. I'm going to put a little music on while I'm gone. I only have one song. I heated it up, and I am really, really disturbed by the fact that we're going to committed to stay in Afghanistan till 2024. Do we learn nothing from the British? Do we learn nothing from the Russians? Do we have that much hubris? The people that are going to die, the money that's going to be spent, and remember, all that money could be shoring up the Social Security Trust Fund, could be shoring up the Medicare Trust Fund, could be rebuilding all that infrastructure across the United States of America. What are we going to do? Burn it up in Afghanistan. Piss it away. You know, they say, oh, the government, they just print money. Why doesn't anybody say, oh, the government, they just burn money in Afghanistan? What could possibly be in Afghanistan that the 1% could want? One year ago today, May Day. Yeah, I never realized that we shot the guy on May Day. Wow. Osama bin Laden was killed on May Day, and he was anything but a socialist. He was a Saudi. That he was a rich Saudi, and he came from a Saudi family that was very friendly with the Bushes. We're all, I don't know, some people say we're all tools in the hand of the 1%. and the 1% get together in countries around the world, and, you know, they just use us as their toys. Well, it's time for it to stop. And let's stop with Afghanistan. Let's make them debate it in the Senate. Bring the agreement to a vote. Let's make the country decide. The only place you're probably going to hear that is here. Somebody give me a call. I'm tired of talking to myself. 347-945-6713 is the call number. Or you can come to the chat room, which is at blogtalkradio.com/normatnight, and you can come into the chat room. Just unbelievable. I'm a little depressed myself. I did get a nice grind of coffee this week at the Safeway. It tastes really good. You know, the week before, I don't even remember if I was at Giant or the Safeway, but, you know, they have the no brand name of coffee, and so I bought it. It was $2 a can. That was passable, but I'll never buy it again. This was $8 for the bag, I admit, you know, but it really is better. I guess once unemployment runs out, I guess then you do go to the $2 canned coffee. The country, we're just unbelievable. Barack Obama, Mitt Romney. Those are the choices I get. If I want to vote for somebody who's going to probably win, it's got to be one of those two guys. And I'm not sure there's any difference. Yeah, I probably should vote for Buddy Romer. I'm probably going to vote for Buddy Romer. You know, and millions of more of us vote for Buddy Romer, then who knows, maybe Buddy Romer will become the president of the United States. Like, that'll ever happen. You know, and I listen to these guys, and this is also what just... Oh, money's buying the election. Why do you have to vote for those guys? I guess I just have a genuine faith in the people. You know, everybody says, we hate the Congress. We hate the Congress so much, what do we keep electing those guys for? Somebody else gets more votes, they win. But it's too damn much trouble to go to the polls. All anybody complains about is that we don't have enough days to vote on. How about the first Tuesday after the first Monday of November? That's voting day. And you go and vote. You don't like the guys that are in there? Vote for somebody else. It makes no sense to me. Actually, I make no sense to myself. Did I say it was hot here in Washington today? Damn, it was hot in Washington today. We're almost halfway through the show. Come on, somebody call me. 347-945-6713. If somebody, you know, I don't know. I really like doing the show. I look forward to Tuesday nights. And it's just so darn depressing when you hear the president flies to Afghanistan. He sits next to corrupt people. They sign agreements. Nobody tells the truth. Everybody tells fibs. I don't know. Nobody calls me. Maybe I'll just turn it in at the halfway mark. Oh, gosh. You know, here it is, hot and muggy, and I'm all sweaty, and I'm sitting there drinking coffee. Sweat is pouring down me. It's probably because I'm so blessed chubby. Fat's even a better word for it. Come on, what do you think, 9121? Give us your opinion. Let me take it out to the audience. I don't know. Who am I to say anything? You know, I love going to this place in D.C. called the Zoo Bar. And they're supposed to be getting a new web page. It doesn't look any different to me. Dante the web designer. I don't know. Hey, I got a caller here. Hey, go ahead, 916. You're on with Norm.
How's it going today?
Hey, it's going all right. You guessed 9121?
Oh, probably, yeah.
Oh, okay. You were in the chat room?
Yeah.
All right, then you got to be 9121. So how do you like the president?
I think I posted something online about that. 10 more years of waste, fraud, and lost lives.
It's
what you're
going to
get for your money, you know.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
When this was the state senator, when I was a state senator, I was against war.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the whole thing. But, It's kind of interesting, regardless of your politics, when you're on the outside. You know, you can be as far left as or far right, whatever it is. But once you're in federal government, it's like the Borg. You get assimilated. And it happens. But it happens to all of them, you know. I mean, you can look at, say, like Alan Greenspan, who was, you know, free market. He was friends with Ayn Rand. You know, this guy was, you know, libertarian. And then he gets in there, and all that just disappears. Same thing with Bernanke.
That's true.
Same thing with Bernanke. If you read all his early stuff, you know, things he wrote and such, compared to what he is now, that's again, it's just not there. So, you know, and that just kind of falls in line with the general theory I have about government by itself. It's just this giant blob, and it absorbs everything, and it just keeps getting bigger, you know?
Mm-hmm. So what can we do about it?
Well, yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm trying to remember how Steve McQueen killed the blob back in the movie.
That's pretty funny.
I don't remember how they did it.
How did Steve McQueen kill the blob? 347-945-6713.
But you remember the blob. Everything it touched became part of it. You know, that was the whole
thing. Yes, I do. That was a great movie.
Oh,
I thought of the saw it at the Bailey Show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tennessee and Bailey. Yeah. That was an old burlesque hall. I don't know if you ever really noticed when the lights were on.
Yeah, it had a balcony.
Oh, yeah. Well, it had all those little booths, too, little private booths.
That's right, up on the top. I forgot about
that. Yeah, and but there were paintings of dancing girls and, I'm sure risque for the time, you know. But, it was quite a place. And then the second floor, did you ever go to the bowling alley up there?
No, I never did.
Oh, well, that was another treat, because that was, really old time. I mean, it was incredibly ancient. Just, it was going back in time. It really, like something in the 20s or 30s, because it had never been remodeled. But it sat up there, and there were these old guys smoking and bowling. That was it.
And where was the Genesee? How far up Genesee Street was it?
Oh, that was, let me think. It was right up, no, it was actually faced Bailey. The Genesee Bailey, it actually faced Bailey. And it was right on that corner. Although, it was right on the corner. I don't imagine it's there anymore.
Oh, I'm sure the Bailey isn't there anymore.
Oh, all the theater, I'm sure they're all history. I mean, except for the ones, the big palaces downtown, of course, they're still around, you know. Yeah, oh, those were beautiful, just amazing, you know, but see that.
All those old shows, absolutely, the Kensington, the Varsity.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I went to Varsity.
The Bailey, the Genesee. I mean, and they were all within a mile walk of each other.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, when my mother wanted to get rid of us, everybody got 50 cents and get the hell out.
That's right. 20 cents to get in, 10 cents for popcorn, 10 cents for a soda pop, and 10 cents in case you had to make a phone call.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, then you used to get two movies.
That's right, double
feature. You always
had
the feature, right, yeah.
And every once in a while, there'd be 50 cartoons in two movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and sometimes we'd stay twice, you know, what the hell. Depends how much money. If we had enough money for more candy, it's, hey, let's stay here. So, and especially in the summer, because you remember, Buffalo summers used to be brutal. The humidity,
Well, I don't know.
I'm not that used to. In fact, I detest humidity now. I just, you know, because this is a very dry climate here, so, you know.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Not in Washington, D.C.
Yes, I know.
Today was our first, the first touch of, or hint of, or whatever, of the summer. It was brutal today. It was in the 80s. The humidity was a little higher than the temperature.
Wow.
In the summertime, it gets in the 90s, and the humidity gets a little higher than the temperature.
Oh, God. We'll get the, you know, that, 90, 100 degree weather in the summer.
If it was so hot here today, the president had to go cool off in the mountains of Afghanistan.
Yeah, I guess he did. Yeah, I mean, I caught that. I was watching the tail end of the Kudlow show, and then they cut that off to put him on. So, bad.
You know, and I was watching Hardball when he came on. Mm. Actually, I was out getting a pizza.
Oh, okay.
And he was coming on just as I got home.
Mm-hmm.
I was so mad I didn't even want to watch it, but I
did. Yeah, well, the 10-year thing, that just shocked me. I thought, oh, come on, man. Because about a week or two ago, Karzai was talking about how much money he wanted. And he was saying, oh, well, I need at least $2 million a year, but we'll take more, you know. I mean, so he already knew this money was coming, you know.
You mean billion, not million.
Yeah, billions, yeah, exactly. So,
okay.
So I was like, you know, at first I thought that's pretty arrogant, but the money was on its way. Jeez. Yeah.
I don't want to hear one more word about the Medicare trust fund anymore.
Mm.
I don't want to hear one more word about bridges falling down.
Yes, well.
I don't want to hear one more word about no money for birth control.
Mm. Well, it will be interesting. Well, we got another month, well, probably 2 months before we know the fate of Obamacare. We'll see what happens there. That's going to be...
It'll be longer than that. I thought it'll be September before they announce that.
Oh, no, in June. It'll be in June.
Is it June?
Yeah.
I didn't think they announced the verdicts until the following September.
No, because they've already actually made the vote. That's done, you know. And now it's a matter of writing the, pros and cons and validation.
And they still can change.
I don't know about that. I guess they could, yeah.
Change right up until it comes out.
Yeah, I imagine.
Because somebody decides, you know, they're going to write with the majority, and they decide they don't like the majority the wording, and so they write a, you can write a, I forget what they call it, a concurring decision.
Yeah.
I can't believe that scumbag Karzai is coming out of this melon like a rose. Somebody's got to make a big deal about this.
Mm-hmm.
This needs to be decided by or voted on by the Senate.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, now will Romney take the opposite side of this? I mean, then what, you know.
Well, the really interesting thing.
Well, he takes the opposite side of everything that Obama does, more or less, you know.
If the Senate doesn't ratify this.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's only in effect as long as Obama is the president.
Mm-hmm.
And even he doesn't have to abide by it.
Yeah. But now, well, this is the question. Now, I don't know if this qualifies as a treaty, or is it already covered under the Patriot Act, or, you know, because remember...
Right now it's an executive agreement.
Right. But, you know, the thing is that all that legislation that was passed, you know, after 9/11... gave the president incredible powers, you know. I mean,
none of that's ever been challenged in court.
Right. Well, the ACLU is trying.
Well, the problem is that somebody has to put themselves in jeopardy.
Mm.
That was the argument, and I'm really surprised that was the argument about Obamacare.
Mm.
You can't take it to court yet because it's not in effect.
Right, exactly. Yeah, there has to be a
somebody's got to not buy insurance. And has to be penalized.
Yeah, pretty much that's the case.
But they just ignored that.
But you also have states who are in non-compliance. There's a few of them, and I think Wisconsin is one, I think Florida is another, that have refused the funds to begin setting up an exchange. So, I mean, they're just not complying whatsoever at this point.
Right, well, the government has to punish them somehow.
Right, exactly. So that's,
and
you
they
know.
Must have done something that they deemed jeopardy.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing. I believe the penalty is that they would lose all Medicaid funding.
So well,
that,
then
yeah. I mean that's more or less the deal.
Well, then the government must have done that. They filed suit, and that puts a halt to that.
Yeah. But see, we have to get to that point, you know. And again, everything kicks in 2014, and so there you are.
It shouldn't have gone to court. Wow. And it's going to get really hairy because then there's going to be suits about the suit, whether it was legal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although I'm not sure after the Supreme Court decides whether any of that is, whether everything becomes moot after that.
Mm. Yeah. Well,
but I guess we should ask the constitutional scholar. He thinks the president can just go make 10-year agreements and not have to bring it to the Senate.
Right.
Now, the United States of America never signed the Treaty of Versailles.
Oh, right, exactly. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Actually, we did sign it, but we didn't ratify it.
Right, yeah. More or less like everything in the UN. Sometimes we'll initial it or whatever they do, but yeah.
Well, no, it came to the Senate and it was defeated in 1919, actually. Henry Cabot Lodge led the fight.
Well, yeah, because, well, pretty much we disagreed with, I mean, it was incredibly harsh, you know. And
yeah, but that's not what they disagreed with. Henry Cabot Lodge and his Republican friends didn't want to be part of the League of Nations.
Right, okay.
And that's why they rejected the treaty.
Yeah.
You couldn't take just part of it. So we actually remained in a state of war with Germany until 1923.
Yeah,
we signed the treaty of, I think it was the Treaty of Rapallo, ending the state of war.
Right. Well, you know, after World War One, there was an incredibly strong anti-war and isolationist movement in the country. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, and we literally wanted nothing to do with Europe. You know, just do your own thing. We don't want to be there. You know, and that lasted. I mean, that lasted all through the 30s. And of course, that's what tied Roosevelt's hands. You know, although he had his own private war going anyway, but you know.
Which one was, wow. And don't forget, in 1920, there were American occupation armies in two cities in Russia. We're trying to help the whites against the Reds. Vladivostok in the west and someplace in the Ukraine somewhere. I can't remember it now. The little details fly away from me, but I should remember stuff like that on a day like today.
Yeah.
Hey, I want all you working people out there who are listening, I want you to all think about the 8-hour day. and, you know, how everybody, that's the standard work day, and that's the way it always was. Wrong. That's not the way it always was.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, well, in 1886, the first big strikes for the eight-hour day took place. And they took place in a city called Chicago, at a place called Haymarket Square. And there were giant riots, and the police shot strikers. Although strikers did blow up some things with some bombs. But that became May Day, the International Holiday of Workers. And it actually originated, everybody thinks May Day was a big Russian. It originated in the United States of America at Haymarket Square in Chicago, Illinois, where all the people wanted was an eight-hour day. And also, it began the movement to prevent child workers. Remember, until a few years into the 20th century, the age of sexual consent in America was 10. Did everyone hear me? 10. Fifth grade.
Yeah. I don't remember reading of it ever being that low. I can remember 12, but 10. Wow.
10. Till Prohibition. And if you can't give consent to sex, you surely can't give consent to work.
Yeah.
Now nobody works in America.
Well, yeah, what are they saying? Something like real unemployment, you know, is far higher than, you know, what we see on in the government statistics. But
the estimation is that, this is great, my daughter's graduating from college this year.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All three of them will be done.
Mm-hmm.
And but the estimate is that 1 in 2 college graduates will not find a job this year.
Mm. Yeah.
1 in 2.
Yeah, wow.
And that's bad. What are the people who don't even graduate from high school going to do? And there's millions of them every year.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do? They're not going to stay nonviolent, I'll tell you that.
Hmm. Well, might explain the upsurge in gun sales.
Well, I don't...
I mean, there's a serious upsurge in gun sales in this country.
Is there really? I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
People have to get medical care. People have to have a place to sleep. That's just the way it has to be.
Mm-hmm.
And when people don't have those things, they start taking them. I know, I'm just a crazy maniac, and people will listen to the Norm at Night show and think that I'm just some kind of a wacko.
Mm.
Well, so be it then.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
Everybody just thinks, oh, they're not graduating from high school. How stupid. Oh, well. They don't just go away.
Yeah, they become
dependent.
I mean,
they become what?
Dependents. Maybe they don't. Well, they don't. You know.
They become cold, hungry, and lonely, and they do something about it.
No, I think a third of them at least stay with their parents or move back in with their parents, whichever it is.
Yeah, I know, but I mean that's just not gonna cut it. I mean, there's millions of these people. Millions. Wait till they start, you know, cutting back entitlements so we can bring the debt monster under control. You haven't seen anything. It's going to make the Rodney King stuff look like,
Christmas. I'm not that pessimistic.
Okay.
You know.
I hope you're right, but tell me what those people are going to do. You think they're just going to quietly starve to death?
Well, there's one thing that's sort of interesting. In times of high unemployment, you would think that crime rates would go up and all that. But what actually happens is that as generations move in together, say the young people with the parents or the grandparents, whatever, they actually do less of that. Because now there's someone watching them. And mom and dad aren't going to let you bring all your stolen articles and guns or whatever else you may, you know, get involved in. They won't let you bring that in the house. So that I thought was, you know, sort of interesting.
Yeah, but...
Parenting, you know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm just... more pessimistic than anyone, but it's Grapes of Wrath all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Except there's no place to go.
Yeah, well.
There's no California to go to become a grape picker.
Yeah, well, the thing is here, I believe, I saw some interesting stats on California is that, you know, we had this, I think it's a third of the entire population of California is on Medicaid right now.
Really?
Which means that they're all at the poverty level, you know.
The whole freaking country, sir.
I mean, you know, but here
level.
It's on a massive scale, you know. And the other part of it is for all the population growth we had, that's what swelled the ranks. The people who came here, whether they were illegal or what, they never got anywhere, you know.
Well, this really, I was stunned when I heard this about California.
Mm.
California has the most people on death row of any state in the union.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we're...
And there is the... you guys have some kind of initiative on the ballot this year.
Yeah, there's a...
About
actually,
abolishing the death penalty.
Yeah, we've had that up something like 8 times over the last 10 years. And...
Everything I've heard is that it has a real opportunity to pass this time.
Yeah, because of the cost involved.
And all those people will then not be on death row anymore. They'll be life in prison.
Right, right. So, yeah, it costs between $8 and $10 million. That's just the legal process of appeals before you get to that point where a prisoner can be executed. So people are looking at it on a cost basis and saying, this is absurd, you know.
Now, Texas might get ahead of them if they execute them so fast that There are no people on death row.
Oh, well, Texas, you know, they boom, boom, boom. They have an express lane.
Texas and Virginia are the two leaders.
I forget
how many states don't have the death penalty.
There's another proposition, too, we have the three strikes law, which I think a lot of states have now.
Right, where you go to jail for life on your third felony.
Right, right. Well, see, they've been doing it even in the case of misdemeanors. I mean, you steal a Clark bar from the supermarket, and now you're in prison for life. You know, that would be the third strike. So they're trying to revise that to where the third crime has to be a serious crime, you know, a felony.
Oh, I always thought it was three felonies.
Oh, no, no. You know, any three, you know, a lot of times it's all, you know, if the guy's doing it, it's also like a parole violation. So he's going back for a long time anyway, you know, so.
You know, one of the big deals in the world is, I mean, in the internet world is all this anti-bullying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not going to do the names, but I just saw a tweet here. Wish you knew that we all do not like you, but this is awkward because you don't have a Twitter.
Oh.
Retweeted by another person.
Hmm.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah. Saw a little, you see these little sayings and slogans and whatever that are, people are posting them everywhere on their wall, on Facebook and what have you. But one I saw that I thought was sort of cute, they said, if Obama gave a speech and warned Americans not to eat the yellow snow, Fox News would come on the next day and tell you how good yellow snow tastes.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, that's about right.
Oh, God, I got the window open because it's really too soon to put the air. Well, actually, it's May, so I guess I could have put the air conditioner out.
Oh, yeah. Because yeah,
some animals fought with a skunk.
Oh, gee. I'm lucky. I don't have skunks around here. I get an opossum once in a while, but that's, you know. And they smell.
Mm-hmm.
They stink. And I don't know, but I think my one cat has mixed it up with a possum occasionally.
Because
he has all these little bites on him, you know, and I think, it's probably not a cat fight, you know. But it could be.
We our old cat, you know, I put her outside at 4:00
mm-hmm.
when I got home from taking my friend to the dentist. He's sort of crippled now.
Mm-hmm.
And I put the cat outside, didn't realize until 8:00. She's just old. If something did attack her, she couldn't defend herself.
Mm.
She would just die.
Oh.
And then I would be in such deep doo-doo.
Yeah. Mm.
But
well, you know,
half her problem is she's like me. I couldn't defend myself either.
Because
I'm so fat.
Oh, okay.
And I'm old too.
Oh well.
Your brain still thinks you can deck anybody.
Oh well. Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, you're a joke.
Yeah. So well, I mean,
about 5 minutes left here, folks. So give us a call. You know, we're gonna save it to him next week. How do you teach people how to think?
Oh.
That's our topic for next week. How do you teach people how to think?
Oh,
man. You have to teach people how to think. People just think.
Yeah. Well, unless you're thinking of, change it a little bit and say, how do we teach people to like learning? To where they get so excited about it, they do it all their lives.
You know what? Start the discussion a little early. I think people just do that naturally.
Yeah. Well, I've read that, you know, you, as far as like teaching goes and such, that you have to get them at a really early age, like between 3 and 5. And if you know, and they were saying that if you don't get them then you've lost them. Well, I'm not.
Remember when you learned how to play chess?
Yeah.
When did you start to? I mean, how did you learn how to anticipate, think? You consequences.
Now, I learned to play chess as a kid, but I didn't take it seriously to where I read a book until, maybe 20, around there.
All right, but yeah, I was about the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, late teens is when I decided, my God, I'm going to be a grandmaster.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah, bad chance. I think I beat 3 masters in my whole life.
Hmm.
And I've been thinking back, how did you learn how to play chess?
From going to the chess club, you know, I went the first couple times, and then I figured out that I didn't know enough to win, at least not very often.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, people started showing me things, you know, Tom Thrush and anybody I would play, you know, they'd say, well, you need to do this. Or they would recommend books, or we had books there. Remember, they had a library.
Right, yes.
So once I started looking at the books and then started reading and, you know, playing the games that were in there, then the knowledge came. But, you know, it was sort of a surprise to me to go, hey, you have to work at this if it's going to... Because it was work.
Do you remember Ron Cozy's bookstore?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I actually found a copy of Think Like a Grandmaster. In Cozy's bookstore. And that was the book that actually gave me, that changed things around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and by playing games.
Yeah.
But anyway, we got about 60 seconds left. Any shout-outs?
I don't have him very much right now, I'm enjoying the breeze. I'm sitting on the patio, and my cats are staring at me. They want to go in.
Okay. Is it dark yet?
Oh, no. No, it won't get dark till 8:30.
Oh, that's right. It's only about 7 there. I was thinking.
It
gets dark here now about 8:15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very nice. This is, you know, it's about as perfect weather as it gets. I mean, you know, it could be a little bit warmer, but we've got that nice breeze coming in off the delta.
Well, it's going to be nice here tomorrow. And on that note, we'll see you next week. We're going to talk about thinking unless the president does some other goofy thing. This is Norman Knight coming to you live from Bowie, Maryland. And I am out of here. See you next week. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
All right.
Good night.
Bye-bye.